6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Anna and Chris. I'm Chris, she's Anna. And we're back for another weekly episode. One is to which I am still sick. It is quite clear, if you can tell by the sound of my voice, I am currently talking and breathing at the same time. But I'm better than I was last week.
Yeah, you do sound worse, but you are better.
Yeah, I don't know. Did I look like pale last week when we recorded?
Yeah, you didn't look great, but like you sounded fine, I think. You were just like run down, I think.
Last week. And I still am run down. Like I feel better. So I'm that type of person. Like when I feel better, it's in my mind that I act like I am better and that'll help me get better quicker, which isn't always true.
No.
And then I'm like, I go do something I probably not ready to quite commit to, but I do it. And then afterwards I'm like, whoa, I'm not feeling well.
See, I just left the house in the rain today, and I was tired, and that, like, took it out of me. So.
Oh, the rain today, it's that torrential drizzle, like, or as I call it. Like, it's not a downpour, but it's, like, drizzle that's just constant, and it just soaks through everything.
Did it snow out in your parts yesterday?
It did. We did get to quite a bit of snow. It was weird because I'd expected to wake up to snow and then it would see a transition to rain. So I get up in the morning and it's what I, you know, best I could call it was chunky rain, you know, snow and rain mix. I call it chunky rain. Sounds better. And so I drive into Richmond. I go to the barber I've been going to for years, get my hair cut. I come home and I, you know, tell the fam like, yeah, no snow. And as I'm sitting there, it's like, you know, the weather gods wanted to smite me for my insolence. And suddenly the big chunks of snowflake started to fall. And
right.
And yeah, we had like 2 or 3 inches before it transitioned to rain.
Whoa. Yeah. Apparently it did snow a tiny bit whilst I was in the movies watching a matinee. But I think mainly I just saw snow on the cars that were coming out or in.
Definitely snowing out my way, but it is gone now.
Quite the storm
it was, wasn't it? I don't know where you were going with it. That
hurricanes were in town.
Segue?
Jesus.
Oh, okay. See, I'm not in the game.
How long have we been podcasting together? You're not picking up what I'm putting
down. I was picking up what you were throwing down, but the problem was is I didn't understand what it was that I was picking up.
Yeah. You just picked something up and said, what the hell is this?
Exactly. You threw it down. I'm like, I don't know. I needed help. And you gave it to me. It was the hurricanes. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense, right? The devil's in the details.
Very quick sidebar on the hurricanes. I do find it just incredibly funny how, like, it's not all British people. It's maybe more of a posh British thing to say hurricane.
Hurricane?
Yeah. So, like, it's kind of fine hurricane? when you're talking about the weather. To say hurricane, but it's very funny when they're talking about like either the Hobart Hurricanes, who are a cricket team, or the Carolina Hurricanes. The Carolina Hurricanes.
Did I say hurricane? Sound right?
No,
I'm pretty sure I say hurricane.
Yeah, I think that's normal. I just feel like it's kind of a funny thing that when the Brits do.
Okay, so then by that logic, they played the New Jersey Devils and the Minnesota Wild.
Yes.
Got it. Got it.
It's a Wild. There's a way.
Yeah. Well, why don't we use that as our segue? It's time to rewind. Vancouver Canucks got things underway against the Hughes brothers because they were in town to play their eldest brother in Quinn. And, you know, I'm surprised you didn't come up with a fancy name for this this combination. Like, I was looking for it, and it just isn't in the rundown.
It's just Hughes Derby?
Yeah,
Derby. Hughes Derby. I always get those two words confused.
So I would say derby, but I do hear darby often used.
I wonder if Derby is just the like name of the place in England. So I don't know. Anyway. Well,
there are so many places in England where you look at the letters and you're like, that's not what you said.
No, it's true. So let's not get another tangent about weird English pronunciations. But yeah, sorry. I did rhyme lose to Hughes. So, you know, that's all I got.
Yeah. I didn't watch that game. Did you watch that game?
I didn't watch that game.
No, it's interesting because, again, it's not like schedules in advance are looked at from a, you know, purely national perspective. And obviously the news as to what transpired leading into Christine Sinclair's final match on Tuesday night, at least international match in a Canadian uniform, that came after the NHL schedule had been set. But I believe there were quite a few people tuned in to watch Sink in her last match than necessarily the Hughes brothers being in town. I don't know what the crowd was like at the Raj. I imagine it was still a relatively full barn, but BC Place was pretty full.
Yeah, so I've never seen Christine Sinclair Place, as it was called on Tuesday. I've never seen it that full. I've been to Whitecaps games, and then I've been to a couple of Women's World Cup games. I don't think any of the staff have seen it that full, at least if we're going by how long it took people to get in. Maybe the cleaning crew as well, because also the whole place smelled like feet the entire time.
That's too bad. Yeah. I have been to BC Place when it's that full, pre-hole, post-hole. Pre-hole is when it was the old building. Like BC Lions used to pack 50-some-odd thousand people in there on the regular.
Wild.
And then in the post-hole, which is the new version, for the opening night, the BC Lions packed a pretty good crowd in there. And then I was at an international friendly, or not friendly, actually it might have been an international match between Canada and Mexico, and the building was full. Granted, I think the statistic at the time was that there were more people who identified as Mexican descent in the Seattle area than there were the entire population of Metro Vancouver. And I'm pretty confident that was a home game for the Mexican side, for the fact that it was December and they had the dome open.
That was the thing. I wish they had the dome open, unfortunately. It's just weird being indoors in BC Place, but it was maybe it might have helped the smell as well. But honestly, it was such a cool atmosphere. Like, I don't watch international football. I don't care about it. But, like, Christine Sinclair is just such a special player, and the impact she's had on the international game, the Canadian game, is just very cool.
And, you know, anytime someone were to tell you that, you know, Lionel Messi is the, you know, top all-time international goal scorer, you can tell them they are incorrect. It is Christine Sinclair. And if you were to then try to qualify that, oh, well, I meant male player, then say that to begin with. Should also give a shout out to fellow international alums, Sophie Smith and Aaron McLeod, who also retired at that match. Aaron McLeod, due to injury, did not dress. And Sophie Smith actually technically came out of retirement to re-retire to get that one final match.
And she came on for Christine Sinclair, so that was a cool moment for sure.
Yeah. But let's talk about the Vancouver Canucks. New Jersey Devils, the Hughes brothers are in town, and defense apparently did not show up for either team, which is unfair to Quinn for certain, but you know, that was a game.
Yeah. I mean, like the only parts that I like even consumed live were the last 10 minutes or so that I got through 650, because it was always going to be interesting. I do love the Hughes parents, just like pretending that they have zero preference by just mm-hmm. having no reaction to anything their children did. Hey,
on so that funny. Note, Mama Hughes, I think, had a split jersey on.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I also...
I don't know for certain, but there was a shot where she's, like, wearing, like, a jacket, and she was definitively wearing a red and white.
There you go.
And it was, like, half and half, so anyhow.
Fair enough. Yeah, and by the way, I did call her the wrong name last week, so sorry about that, Ellen. Anyway, very cool for you, like, to see three of your sons in one game. But, yeah, like, I really admire Canucks' fight to stay in the game. But overall, I guess the defense optional part is definitely worrying.
Well, it was defense optional both ways. The difference was that in the third period, when Vancouver storms back to essentially tie things up, they maybe tied up the game too early because New Jersey suddenly decided that, well, you haven't shown up with defense either tonight. We're pretty confident we can score another goal here. And, you know, score they did. Brad getting a second of the game to give the Devils that 6-5 victory. But you know, the Canucks, I mean, outside of, yes, in the first period, not looking too hot on a majority of the goals, at least having... you know, watch the replay of those, did lock things down better, but just provided themselves too much of a hole to dig out of, or alternatively tied it up with too much time on the clock.
Yeah, it was just like, okay, the New Jersey Devils don't care about your good story of coming back to tie the game. They're not gonna give up 5 minutes from the end. Like, so, yeah, I liked the attitude, but I guess what worries me, and it's kind of a repeating theme this week, is the lapses in concentration. It's like, you win a game, you lose a game. You score a goal, you concede a goal, you know? That's the overall worrying trend that I look at.
Yeah. So, Canucks conceded many goals. Against the Devils, and proceeded to concede zero goals on Thursday against the Wild.
How? How? They just like, oh, thank God that Minnesota are too boring, because not only were like Vancouver offensively bad, and I mean that in terms of not shooting at all in the first period, but they were just like,
what are you talking
the
about?
Defense they, was so
they
poor.
They scored a goal in the first period.
Again,
on one of their very, very many shots.
Yeah.
Canucks had four shots.
I was at this game. Unfortunately, I had a great time, but the hockey on display was not so good. It was a lot of Minnesota just like coming into the Canucks zone, Canucks intercepting the puck and then giving it right back to Minnesota. So, yeah, and Casey DeSmith moving so slowly across his crease, but luckily Minnesota moving even slower.
I was going to say, that's the thing, is he knew he didn't have to.
Yeah.
The Vancouver Canucks outshot the Wild in one period. That's the second, where they got 10 shots. They got four shots in the first period, but in the third period, holding on to a one-goal lead, they decided that one was enough because they only got three more shots. And what's scary about that is I think it was like their first shot of the third period was the second goal. So, you know, they either knew something or Minnesota, not that good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say Minnesota aren't that good. And I will say, to give Casey Smith credit, he looked much stronger as the game went on. He was just, yeah, giving me, you know, nightmares in the first period. Connor Garland, another impressive night for him, where he just does not get a point. Although, he did have a point on, did have a point against Minnesota. Yeah, he assisted on the Teddy Bluger goal. But, yeah, he's not having flashy games ever, but yeah, another solid night for him and Nils Höglander. Yeah, I was impressed with those two.
My daughter was still awake when the game was wrapping up and wanted to know why the two players were fighting. So the Maroon Zadaroff fight. And I'm like, well, they're probably really angry at each other. She's like, well, fighting's bad. I'm like, no, they should be thrown out of the game. Well, they have been. That's good. So baby force, then like the fighting.
Yeah, good for her. Very progressive mindset.
I didn't tell her. Well, they got thrown out of the game because there's only like, what, 10 seconds left or whatever. It was the weirdest fight. Like, it came out of nowhere and nothing left on the clock. But yeah, Baby Force with some questions for what was going on. And yeah. Actually, we had seen a fight when we went to a Surrey Eagles game earlier this season where we had a similar explanation. Well, they must have been really angry. Well, they got thrown out of the game because their fighting is bad. And Junior, you get thrown out of the game when you
fight.
Yeah,
I was like, what the heck?
If we had watched the fight earlier in the game, I mean, she would have seen those players return to the ice.
Yeah. Pat Maroons has 3 cups. He doesn't give a monkeys anymore. He's just going to do what he wants to do. So,
yeah. But that leads us into the weekend when the, joke or segue or whatever you would like to call it that Anna threw down that I could not pick up happened. The Hurricanes.
Hurricanes.
The Hurricanes blew in the town. This one was weird.
It was weird.
I think I've described this before on the episode where it didn't feel like the Vancouver Canucks were going to lose, but the difference is it didn't feel to me that I was ever confident that they were actually going to win.
Yeah, and it is, again, the lapses in concentration thing. Like, one of the goals at least came whilst they were announcing.
Yeah, the third goal the second. No, the first goal for Carolina after the Canucks' second goal.
Hurricanes goal, yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, the more positive way to look at things is, yes, they did have lapses in concentration, but the big players stepped up. Petey defined the game.
I was going to say, you could argue that, well, Carolina returned the favor with the lapse of concentration. I'm not entirely certain because Petey scored the goal before he had even come around the goal line. Like, he essentially just in the net. Like, the goaltender, I think, believed he was still behind the net, which was true. It's just the puck and the stick was in the front. Like,
yeah. It was a game you want to see from Petey. He's quote-unquote struggled because he hasn't struggled in the same way that other players have struggled do, but he was not the same Petey. But I just think that game showed what a smart player he is. The Lafferty goal in particular was like a favorite of mine just because it was just like completely outfoxing the Carolina defense. It's like, oh, we got to cover Petey. Don't even to worry about Sam Lafferty. And then Sam Lafferty is like, oh, just no.
Wide open.
Yeah. Worry about me. It was really good.
His assist on the McKayev goal, equally as dirty.
Yeah. And another great night for Nils Höglander.
If there is a problem, though, these are now 2 back-to-back games where the Vancouver Canucks decided to try to skate 20 people all at the same time. And got called for too many players, or like, they still call it too many men on the ice, but too many players on the ice. The bench minors drive me nuts.
Oh, like, completely. And the fact that it's a repeated problem for Vancouver over the last 3-4 years.
It is. And it's not, you could say, so-and-so didn't run the bench well. But it's been, you're right. Green had this near the end of his time. Boudreaux suffered from it. Tockett has. It is just maddening. Like, I get that it will happen from time to time.
Sure.
But we've got 2 straight games, and making matters worse, it happened twice against the Hurricanes, one of which the Carolina Hurricanes capitalized on. It was their, I think it was their second or third goal. Second goal was the power play.
Yeah. And
so,
that, like, watching that back, the mistake from Cole is just egregious to me. Waving Quinn on, he's like already 10 strides onto the ice, and then he decides to stay on the ice. Like, you can't do that. Like, you're not going to be
You can, but you get penalized for it.
Like, you're not going to be in a better position than one, the best, arguably the best defenseman in the league. But, like, he's already halfway across the ice. Like, you can't change your mind like that. I do worry that Ian Cole is just making a lot of dumb mistakes, I guess I would say, for a player. That's not what you'd expect from a player of his pedigree. It's kind of like when Tyler Myers gets elevated in any way, he makes mistakes. Whereas, like, when he's playing his role, he's fine.
Doesn't need to be elevated to make mistakes either.
Well, that's true, but
he makes more mistakes.
He makes more mistakes, but, like, obviously, we're not gonna get in a Tyler Myers spiral here, but yeah. Ian Cole's mistakes do worry me, and Quinn Hughes didn't have the best night against Carolina, and it does worry me that he just maybe, like, we're hoping that, you know, the rival Zadorov might take some of the pressure away from Quinn Hughes, but maybe it's too early to say that.
Yeah. But we're being nitpicky. The Vancouver Canucks got two dubs out of a possible three. That's a good week in our books. Any week the Vancouver Canucks are above the 500 line continues to be a very good week. They were talking about it on the broadcast, but, you know, with, was it a couple of weeks left to the Christmas break and the Vancouver Canucks, you know, being second in the Pacific? I don't know if they still are as of recording. You know, they're in really good shape. I mean, statistics continue to reinforce the fact that this team is a playoff team now. It's not a pretender. It is a playoff team.
Yep, looking still 2 points ahead of LA as of recording.
Okay. Well, looking ahead at the week that will be, Florida comes to the province. The Tampa Bay Lightning are in town Tuesday, take on the Vancouver Canucks, followed by the Florida Panthers on Thursday night. I understand there's a special something taking place on Thursday night. So the puck probably is not dropping at 7 p.m. Pacific,
yeah.
Just so you know. And then the Canucks head out on the road for a final road trip before the holiday break. They head to the great state of Minnesota to take on the Wild. You're waking up relatively early to watch an 11 a.m. Pacific puck drop on Saturday, and then they race out to Chicago for a 12 noon puck drop on the Sunday. Which,
I hate both of those things.
Well, so first of all, that game in Chicago, I genuinely wonder how many people are going to be watching a hockey game considering it's football on a Sunday. Like the NHL knows they can't compete against the NFL and they don't try to compete against like Sunday night football, but I guess they have to accept that they have to play on some Sundays. Anyhow, yeah, that noon start.
I mean,
and then we'll record and talk about it, but.
Yeah, I like will say, obviously, I lived for 3 years as a hockey fan in the UK. Early puck drops are a gift. So I try not to complain about them too much, but Canucks never seem to do well about with them. And just going from an 11 a.m. game to a 12 p.m. game, it just doesn't feel great. Also seems very Minnesota of them. Just to have a hockey game in the morning, that's just very dull.
Well, from what I understand,
it's the afternoon there,
but it is the U.S. preference to have afternoon games on weekends. And so that's why we see them. We very rarely see a Canadian team have a matinee. And if it does, it has to do with something like Hockey Day in Canada or like there's a reason that they can't just have a later game.
Yeah, I just think, like, why are we catering to U.S. markets? Or, like,
fairness,
this isn't Chicago the way you do it.
Has been a pretty good market for the NHL.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is Minnesota. And these are hockey markets.
Hockey towns, yeah, for sure. I am curious what's going to happen in these two Florida games coming up.
Well, I mean, Tampa's not playing so well this season.
Really? Yeah.
Florida, though. They've been playing well for the three people that keep showing up to watch them down there in Sunrise. But I would like to tell you that the Vancouver Canucks could possibly trip against the Lightning, but I don't see them tripping against the Panthers, except for the fact that Luongo is part of the Florida Panthers organization. It could be that the team amps itself up to, you know, make it interesting. I don't know. And then I'm really not happy about the matinees myself either. And to me, those are like,
yeah,
not good games to say they'll win. Especially, you know, watching Connor Bedard and seeing what he'll be like in a few years when he suits up for the Vancouver Canucks.
Of course. So how many points are you giving him?
Oh, give the Canucks. Oh, I feel bad for saying I'm going to give them 3 points out of a possible 8.
I'm saying 4 out of 8.
4 out of 8? Okay. I mean, they'll probably blow our prediction out of the water and go 8 for 8, but
that's good.
At some point, they'll trip. I mean, good teams trip, but it's just this, the week is weird.
It is a weird week.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Anyhow, we'll be back in a week's time to tell you whether or not we got the prediction right, because we do record after the Vancouver Canucks take on the Blackhawks next week. We ourselves, however, are going to take ourselves a short break. It is the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Anna and Chris.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? Is that because he was mad?
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He didn't play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
If you happen to see the rundown, and I kind of think, you know, it'd be cool to publish the rundown from time to time, because Anna puts together a pretty solid rundown for us to work from. We are going to talk about both the Rehogging and Garland Old Reliable.
Yeah, I like to have fun with the rundown, but yeah, obviously the Rehogging, if anyone follows me on Twitter, obviously you should all be following me on Twitter. I like to talk about the Rehogging. I was maybe a bit premature in calling out the Rehogging last year.
Well, in fairness, you'd called it out because it had happened, but it had happened.
Yes.
It didn't continue to happen. Right? He Rehogging'd.
Yes. But the Rehogging is real. It is sustained. Like, he's a top 6 player now. Like, last year he was an Abbotsford Canuck. Like,
yeah. Well, you hear Tockett talk about how he took feedback, worked on his game, and found a way to get himself not only into the lineup, but to then grow within the role within in the lineup. And I feel that they're trying to say the same thing to both Kuzmenko and Podkolzin, to some respect.
Right.
Which would be great if both of those were to follow the same pathway. But credit to Hoglander for, you know, not only getting the message, taking it to heart, and turning things around. You know, he was a spare part of the conversation. I wouldn't say he had reached the, you know, Ballard Raymond in a fourth status. But, you know, the other player that you have, Garland Old Reliable, I mean, Garland was in the Ballard Raymond in a fourth, and now it's a matter of, no, that's good. We'd like to keep him. The fact that Beauvillier was the one who was dealt, I think, has clearly more to do with Garland not only showing that he belongs on this team, but increasing his value to such an extent that the Vancouver Canucks were, like, asking for considerably more for
him. Yeah, and we've talked about it before, right? Like, there's very few untouchable players, and Garland, if he increased his value to such an amount that teams are begging for him, like, I'm sure Canucks would make a deal, but, like, he's proved himself to be, yes, a very reliable player. And you talked about Kuzmenko, and I do think it's interesting. He's obviously having struggles of late, but also we talked about Garland not really getting on the score sheet. Do we think that's a possibility that, like, instead of Joshua on his line, who's maybe not got the quickest hands in the league, maybe not got the best finishing. Kuzmenko is a good finisher, or he was, so well, is that a way to boost his confidence? Or
it could work, but I think the struggle there is that Kuzmenko, if he were to forecheck, which is a weird thing for a coach to call you out on. The player needs to learn how to forecheck. I wasn't aware that players don't forecheck in the NHL, but I feel that that's the role that that particular line is playing right now. Like the Garland line is the line that goes out there, and you know, you think back to, you know, the 2011 Canucks, that's that third line that would roll out, would just grind and harass, forecheck, tire the opposition. That's what this line is doing. Kuzmenko would need to be able to contribute to that. It would be nice, you're right, maybe to provide some more skill to Connor, but you don't need Garland on the score sheet in his current space because his line is doing what they need. And you've got like you've got two top lines. You know, the fact that right now you know, Miller has more points than Petey. You've got Besser
getting points.
Right. Mikheyev, maybe not as many, but the point is you've got, you know, this already happening, and then the defensive contribution, which was lacking.
I think you're right, actually. Like, I have been persuaded. I think this is a good argument that Connor Garland's value doesn't necessarily show up on the score sheet, and right now it doesn't necessarily need to. He tires out players, he works hard, and maybe he doesn't need anyone scoring goals on his excellent passes.
Well, you know, speaking of scoring goals, the benefit the Vancouver Canucks have had from at least the first portion of the season is the blue line has been holding things down for the most part. They're getting offensive contribution, whether it be from Quinn Hughes or Philip Hronek. But you do bring up a fair point. When do we get concerned about the depth? And I'd like to sort of rewind. We've always been concerned about the depth.
Yes.
Like, that is not
there was never a point
statement.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure there's really anything that the Canucks need to do. Like, yeah, I would love for the defensive lapses not to continue. But we're getting, you know, better value than the money that the team has tied up on the blue line than we had expected. And maybe even better value than what, you know, paper would suggest. Is that bad?
I mean, I guess what I'm coming from is that we're, like, trying to ease pressure on, like, Quinn Hughes, Philip Hronek, great pairing, gelled really well together. Quinn Hughes is Quinn Hughes. But, like, in easing, because if we're playing them at however many minutes a night, you do end up with mistakes. Like, Quinn Hughes, one of the Carolina goals just completely like lacked intelligence in his play, and you hardly ever see that from Quinn. I'm just worried, like wondering if like we're just at December now, and I don't want to see the burnout. I obviously there's still the talk about Ethan Bear, though Friedman has brought up that the Capitals are very in on him. Yeah. I have no idea. Like, I just, like, I know Friedman is an insider. Like, I don't doubt his sources, but his sources might be Ethan Bear's agent trying to get more money out of the Canucks. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I really am loath to bring up baseball because it's such a dumb sport. But if last week has shown us anything, it's like, don't necessarily, like, trust what the sources and the insiders are telling you.
There was a plane. So it had Robert Herjavec on it, or whatever his name is, from, you know, Shark Tank, Dragon's Den.
But I think that didn't come from nowhere, right? The insiders were saying, like, Otani's very close to signing for the Blue Jays, but I think those insiders might have been his agent.
You know, I'm not that good of a ball player, but I'm pretty confident that if Ohtani can get close to a billion Canadian, I should be worth a few bucks.
I don't think that's how it works. It's not just a sliding scale of like Ohtani money to like a couple dollars per game.
Golden money? Well, but a couple dollars a game. They play 182 ball games in a season. It adds up.
That's true, but I don't know what the lowest paid player is on in the MLB, but I think it's more than a couple bucks.
There's probably also like a minimum contract value. Uh-huh.
I'm sure there is.
I'm probably, you know, game. But yeah, talking about the Vancouver Canucks, you know, yeah, it would be nice to have Bear back in the lineup. Yes, it would be nice to have that depth. Where things start to get messy, though, is the cap for the Vancouver Canucks isn't all that advantageous. Oh, yeah. It's better than it once was. They've got a little bit of space to work with Beauvillier gone, courtesy of the third-round draft pick. But the problem is that if you do bring Bear in, he's not coming on board for a prorated one-year deal. Right, because he would find himself in a very similar position. Is that where the Canucks want to sort of tie themselves into? I'm not knocking Bear here. It's just a, you know, the team is going to start to see some flexibility. The rumors are that the cap is going to go up quite a bit year over year. So I don't know. I'm not confident in the blue line, but I'm also not upset with what's happening. This is what I expected.
Okay. I mean,
but look at where they are in the standings.
Yeah, no, it's true. And like, it's December now. We have to start, like, as you say, like, Canucks are a legit playoff team now, and they're very much in the conversation of contender. But yes, I guess. I don't want to say, like, Bear at any cost or whatever. I just feel like a helper would be good and some more depth on the blue line. But it's just the length of contract does, you're right, like tying yourself down to that does worry me.
Speaking of tying something down, the Vancouver Canucks have Roberto Luongo in town on Thursday, and they plan on tying something up. It's already up. Yeah, there's a banner up there that's telling you that on December 14th, it's, you know, Roberto Luongo night. But where do you fall? Would you have put his jersey in the rafters and retired number one? Or are you of the mind that the Ring of Honor is where Roberto should be? Because that's where he's going. I mean,
yes.
Whether you or I think
unless
otherwise.
Unless there's some switcheroo that the Canucks are pulling. Which they just don't have the imagination to do.
Could you imagine it though? Like the banners right now are actually covering up the jersey and then the wires that it's tied to, and they pull the banner and the jersey flies out and then goes up.
I mean, it would be quite a spectacular moment, but it's just not going to happen. I get where the skepticism comes from retiring the number. Like Canucks went way too hard on retiring numbers for a franchise that's never won a cup. They have way too many numbers in the rafters. I get that. But he's the best goalie that's ever been for the Canucks. Like, there's just no way around that. And I also think, like, people are saying it's disrespectful to Kirk McLean. Like, I'm sure Kirk McLean is so happy with his lot right now. Like, he is an ambassador for the Canucks. He just gets, like, all these cushy dinners and fancy events. I'm not saying he doesn't work hard for it. Like, we've seen the opening video where he has to play tug of war, so the man worked hard for his money, but, like, I don't think Kirk McLean would be upset. And also, it's just, like, it's a number going up there. It's just, like, Luongo built on Kirk McLean. He stood on the shoulders of giants. If you want to look at it that way, fine, look at it that way, but I do understand where people are coming from that say Ring of Honor is the right place, but to me, I think they should retire it.
Yeah. I I grew up in the McLean era, right? Like McLean was, in my mind, the best goaltender the Vancouver Canucks had until Roberto Luongo.
Sure.
And for someone to say that retiring one for Louis disrespects Kirk, Roberto holds records that Kirk simply did not achieve here in Vancouver. That's not a knock against what McLean's role was during that era, like the 94 run. I mean, what do people remember? They remember Brown to Bure. They remember the, you know, double pad save in the first round. Like, they remember Trevor leaning against Kirk. Like, these are the memories that people have. And then Kirk has definitely ingrained himself into the organization. And I think us is sort of the Smelosphere. But what Roberto did was at another level.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be upset if they put him in the Ring of Honor, nor would I have been upset if they retired number one. But the reason why I may lean towards Ring of Honor over the retirement of the jersey has more to do with the body of work being split beyond just Vancouver. When I look at the jerseys that are up there, Smeal was a Canuck. Like, there's wasn't anything else. Sedin's, they were only Canucks. Bure, this is one that for me, I'm not as comfortable on, but I would have told you retiring his jersey was maybe not the way to go. I think Ring of Honor would have been more appropriate for him.
Okay.
Linden, yes, he played for other teams, but does anyone remember that he played for the Capitals or the Canadiens? They know he got traded to the Islanders.
Yeah, everyone remembers the Islanders, I feel like. Yeah.
Right, but he was a Canuck. And so for me, that's where I sort of have my priorities.
See, to me, I don't understand that. Or I don't empathize with that because, one, like you say, like, you didn't necessarily want Bure to go up there, but he did because he was that good. Like, Bure was just that good. And I just think, it's not like Luongo is like played for all these teams. Yeah, he was drafted by the Islanders, right? But he is like synonymous with the Canucks' greatest period, and he got them there. He would have had nothing to do with Florida, like, all things being equal, right?
But well, fair. That is fair.
He stuck around a long time.
I have more issue with Bure's departure than I do with Luongo's. Yet knowing what we now know, in both scenarios, both players were treated very poorly by an organization at the end of their tenure. Roberto, like I have again the Bure issue I have, and it is probably. Let me rewind this a bit. I'm not upset with his jersey being up there. I would have preferred the Ring of Honor.
Yes.
Roberto, I would not be upset if his jersey went up. I would prefer the Ring of Honor. Because my criteria is that whether it was your fault or not, your body of work is representative of your time as a Vancouver Canuck, and that time needs to be significant in the context of your career.
Yeah, because to me, just Luongo is, like, he works for the Panthers now, but what did he do as a Panther? Like, they went to the playoffs and they did pretty well considering
what did he go into the hall in?
I mean, that's another point though. I mean, he's in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And he went in alongside his Vancouver Canucks teammates.
Okay. The point being though, what logo? Did he? Like, he chose.
He probably, but because he's currently employed by the Panthers, like. I'm also saying, like, I know his wife's from there, like, he has an attachment. I'm not trying to say that, like, he is just, like, quote-unquote faking it with Florida.
No, I'm not suggesting that is the case either. I'm splitting hairs because we're talking like 50.1, 49.9. Like, I don't have strong feelings one way or the other, unlike many people out there.
I wouldn't say like I'm disgusted that they're putting him the
wrong. You're the opposite.
Hall of Fame and stuff. Like, I'm fairly measured, but to me, I just, the arguments against it aren't strong enough. And I would say another part of it is just, like, the story's better to retire him. Like, and at the end of the day, I know we literally record a podcast about this team every week, but, like, it's sport at the end of the day. Isn't it better to have a good story? And, like, it just seems, like, unnecessarily, like, nitpicky of Vancouver. That's...
Take all the jerseys down. They haven't won a cup. Yeah. There are some out there, though, that would tell you that that's the way it should be. Anyhow, when you're, you know, a team like Vancouver has been for as long as they have without a cup, you got to find other parameters. When they start winning cups, then the conversation changes, because how do you not retire everyone's jersey on that cup-winning team?
But, like, yeah, the only reason that, like, one of the strong reasons why Canucks came close, and we're saying this as measured as we possibly can, they were the best team in the league that year. They were, like, far and away deserving of that cup.
Well, like, they win it because Luongo gets a shutout in Game 7. Because the three wins in the Stanley Cup final were all shutouts. If they win the cup, it's because Luongo got four shutouts over 7 games.
Yeah. So he got them there. Like, true, him and the Sedins, like...
Well, it wasn't dominant. Just him, but I know what you're saying.
There's lots of people, but anyway.
Well, you know, there's someone out there right now that's going to be telling you, like, and you disrespect Kirk McLean like that because he got the 94 team where they were.
I mean, I'll say this, like, I obviously didn't watch 94. I was 3 years old, and I don't think I knew what Canada was. Never mind hockey. But I love Kirk McLean. I think he's a total silver fox, for one. I think he's utterly charming, and I think he's a great team ambassador, but he's just not the same league.
Have you ever had your picture with him?
I think so. Okay. I've like, shook his hand, for sure.
Okay.
I don't know if I was brave enough to ask for a picture, but I do like him a lot. Hmm. Love you, Kirk. No offense.
There's other people out there who are complaining about you disrespecting Richard Berger for the 1982 series, but hey, what can you do, Anna?
Yeah, I was -9 at this time.
Yeah.
We do want to hear. It's always more fun when we disagree, probably. But we want to hear what everyone else thinks. Ring of Honor, retirement, or neither. I mean, that's garbage.
And it changes absolutely nothing unless the Vancouver Canucks go crazy and have the jersey swing from the side of the...
That would be a cool effect.
The Raj, yeah. Anna, we only have an episode-ish to go before it is 2024. You and I will be recording again this time next week. Mm-hmm. But then the week after that, it's Christmas, where we historically do not have an episode, though I have floated the idea there might be something. And then the following weekend, you apparently, you know, come back to town and want to record a show, though I'm trying to convince you otherwise. So
we'll see.
It could be the last episode that you hear for the next few weeks is next week. But I just wanted to let, you know, our listeners know that that is the case. Yeah. What final words of wisdom do you have for everyone this week?
Once again, I'm wearing a fun shirt, and I'm wearing my Short King Neil shirt, purchased from Friends of the Show, the broadcast. Like, I'm just so happy to see him succeed again. He's adorable and impressive, and yeah, just seems like a really lovely human, so... I hope the rehogging, long may it continue.
Words of wisdom from me. If the eggnog looks wrong, don't drink it. Just saying. If the eggnog looks wrong, don't drink it. Yeah.
Don't eat yellow snow as well.
Hey, well, suggested not to eat the yellow snow, but you do you.
YOLO.
Yeah. If you've reached this point of the episode and you feel the need to support the two of us, why, I have absolutely no clue. You can go to support.c4podcast.com and that'll forward you off to Buy Me a Coffee, or as Anna and I like to call it,
Buy Me a Pint.
And you could drop a couple of bucks to that regard. You could drop us a couple of bucks towards a pint or two, or alternatively, you can support the show on a monthly or annual basis. And in doing so, those funds go into the podcast to help pay our bills and keep the lights on, so to speak, the microphones on and the recording software paid for. The ads you listen to in this show, unless Anna and I actually read it, do not go to us. Fast forward, skip. Mm-hmm. You know, feel free to send strongly worded email to whomever it happens to be and tell them to stop sponsoring C4. I really wish there was an easier way for us to get in touch with the current host to say, hey, we'd like to leave.
Yeah. It's not us, it's you.
Yeah. But the fact that we can't do that just makes things so much more difficult. So, you know, yes, maybe at some point in 2024.
The breakup.
Well, and the weird thing is like I have been like quite literally going in and pulling ad spots that they insert. Like I'm acting as a chaos agent. And yet that hasn't got like a prompt to reach out to the, hey, what are you doing this for? Like, I don't know what else to do. But, we will be back again in a week's time. If you want to carry on the conversation with us and talk to us until then, you can join our Discord at C4 Discord, discord.io/C4podcast. We are on X, Twitter, whatever the heck it is called, at the C4 podcast. We always have been, whether we always will be, who knows. But we are also over there on Threads at the Real C4 podcast. Did you know that Threads introduced tags, not hashtags, but tags?
But are they hashtags?
They could be if you want to make them, but their tagging system allows you to use one tag per post, and the tag could be more than just a series of characters. You can use spaces and special characters if you'd like. So,
have fun.
Yeah. But yeah, if you're so inclined, check out our back catalog at c4podcast.com. But on behalf of Anna, A4603, myself, Chris, at Lightforce, and sign off this episode with We Out.